For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula on Houston Sports Leader.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
Sports Radio 610.
I damn near just fell out of my chair because I'm so excited for what I just heard, the news that we got today.
Yeah, man.
Or just because I don't know how to sit in a chair. You can decide. But no, we did get an update, an important update on NRG Stadium.
We did. Right here it is. And this is a good one. According to the Houston Texans, one of the damaged roof panels is scheduled. Well, okay, let's back up for a second. They were supposed to be fixed not until week 4 of the regular season, maybe week 5. Now, one is going to be repaired prior to the Texans' season opener against the Bears.
That's week 2, correct?
Week 2, September 15th. And the second roof panel is anticipated to be fully repaired before the second home game, September 29th. And this is why it's really good. The first game's a night game.
Yeah.
Absent of rain, it wasn't going to be that you know, heat that was just that sun.
Or honestly, it should look good on TV too. That's a Sunday night game.
Yes. Yeah.
So you won't see that glaring sunlight on the
washout.
Yeah, you won't see that.
The fine people sitting in those sections are not going to have to deal with that.
Dying.
That sun hitting them.
Yeah, and then September 29th, first of all, that figures to be a little cooler, and it's going to be fixed. You know, so you won't have the washout then on the noon game. So
it looks like we're going to escape some of the negative effects that we got from preseason. And, yeah, I mean, even that night game, even if it does rain, I imagine, my best guess, and I don't have any insight, with the two panels, one of them is a little bit more centrally located. The other one is more towards the
one of the end zones, the south end zone. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you very much for that. I imagine the one that's the panel that's missing, more centrally located, is the one that they'll start with.
I know that's the one they probably want to start with.
Sure.
But we don't know, like,
which one they
which
got done
one fits or which one they're getting the panels for first or whatever. But yeah, if they had their druthers, I think it's the one.
I wonder how much that costs.
Oh man,
I don't want to know.
Just for that, I'm saying little loosely.
Yeah,
but that little part, I wonder how much that costs.
Yeah. One of the things that I try not to do is ask questions that I don't want answers to. And buddy, I don't want to feel that broke this moment. I already had enough of that last night.
I'm not paying for it, so I'm fine. It ain't my roof.
That's right.
Yeah.
As we continue around the NFL, the saga is over.
The saga is over.
Brandon Ayuk yesterday got a deal done with the Niners, not being traded. Hey.
Hey, the ending to that movie sucked.
That was an awful ending. The denouement of sorts
was getting juicy and good. Yeah. And at the end, it was a...
The writers definitely did not know where to go.
They mailed that in.
Ultimately...
It's like one of the... I'm trying to think of like a movie where you go, damn, that stunk.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what it was.
I was watching the show on Netflix called Eric. And
Eric, like the name?
Yeah, the name Eric.
Okay.
And I don't know how I found it, but I'm like, ooh, this is good. Up until the last two episodes, I'm like, what in the world is going on here?
To be fair to writers,
it was bad, man.
Like, coming up with a interesting idea it's not easy, but it's easier than finding a way to cap off a story.
To wrap it up.
Like, wrapping up a story. Yeah. If you have somebody that knows how to, like, tell a story and complete an arc,
Yeah.
They're doing some great work. That is not to be scoffed at. That is not to be underrated.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to give them credit. But, yeah, Brandon Ayuk, not one of them dudes.
And because by the ultimately, way, go ahead.
Ultimately, four-year, $120 million is the extension.
Glad that you said that.
Which is $30 million a year, which, according to Adam Schefter, was the same deal that had been there for the past 3 weeks thereabouts. Now, Ryan Williams of Athletes First, mm-hmm. who is Brandon Ayuk's agent, quote tweeted that and said, that's factually inaccurate, but the check still cashes. Smiley or winking face.
Yeah, I tend to lean with Adam Schefter on
You're
this
with Schefter
one.
On this one? That you think that?
A little bias there. A little, you know.
Yeah. No, that guy probably trying to be PR a little bit too.
Oh, and so he don't he's make helping him look himself.
Bad. Yeah, so he don't make him yeah. look Ayuk look bad.
Yeah, he's helping himself. I tend to lean with Adam Schefter. And what was accomplished here?
That ultimately ends up being the question, because it, especially if it was just
this deal
has been on the table for at least a few weeks or maybe even early on in the process, then this looks like we were just wasting time.
What were we doing this whole time?
It seemed like they trying to strong arm some teams and get a little more money, and they realized that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure, because like there were instances where in the reporting that, what was it, the Steelers would have offered him a good amount of money. I think the Browns also would have offered him a good amount of money, and he kind of vetoed some of these. Now, of course, you've got to be careful when some of these things come out. The thing that we have to ask is consider who is giving this information, because not saying that the reporters themselves are like biased or whatever,
where they're getting it.
But like a source is going to have an agenda in it leaking in information, right?
Yeah.
If your source is maybe player side, their objective is to make the player look better.
Exactly.
If the source is maybe team side, their objective is to make the team look better. So depending on what their sources are, and I imagine that might be team side, is to make Ayuk look like he's indecisive. However, it worked, right? He looked very indecisive. And for me, the perspective I ultimately kind of came back with was, I always say that money is a proxy for respect in a lot of these places, right? Sometimes you don't need more money. You're sufficient. However, you want more money from that place for them to prove that they respect you. I think that that's what Brandon Ayuk was looking for. I think he was wilding for respect. He was like, look, I need y'all to appreciate me as a valuable piece of what's happening here and not treat me like I'm a second or third tier player in what we're doing here. I'm more important. And it felt like he was wilding for respect all the way up until now.
They need to keep that same energy with Trent Williams.
I would be doing whatever needs to be done
to get him back on the field, keep him happy.
And there was also a report that they were willing to do a deal if they got a receiver in return, and nobody was willing to do that.
I thought the Browns was.
I thought the Browns were too.
Yeah, because Amari Cooper's name had been put up there.
I would have been shocked if they kept Amari Cooper and had Brandon Ayuk and all.
Well, apparently, like I said, according to one report, no one wanted to part with that.
Okay.
Well, the Niners get to keep that team intact, at least when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. But you did mention a good thing, Figgy, here. Trent Williams has still not necessarily gotten done. I imagine that's where all of their attention
is. They signed the wrong guy
right now. Oh, wow. You're going as far as saying that.
Hey, I would have went with Trent Williams first and tried to figure out Ayuk second.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I'm not against that.
Yeah, if Trent Williams isn't there, this thing doesn't necessarily work. And like we mentioned before, like that team, when Trent Williams isn't there.
That's the heartbeat right there, man.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. That's a crazy... From the 713, Pulp Fiction had a terrible ending with the glowing suitcase. I don't think I'd agree with that. I never heard that. Yeah, I've never heard anybody come for Pulp Fiction. Although it is a non-linear timeline, so I get where maybe that could be a little off-putting to some folks. Not off-putting in the slightest. This next piece of news, according to Jeff Darlington of ESPN, Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel signed a new contract that extends them through the 2028 season.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any numbers on this.
I'm looking. I don't see any.
Coaches are not the ones that we readily get numbers on a lot, especially because their agents aren't necessarily doing as much negotiating in the media. But under McDaniels, the Dolphins had a top-ranked offense in the NFL last year, which is the first time since 1994, a stat that I did not realize and recognize. Also, first back-to-back playoff appearances in 23 years. And so obviously I think it was very evident that Mike McDaniel in this also in this vein of coaches that came out of the Shanahan tree and all that, right? Like clearly doing a good job offensively. But I think that where this can become interesting is, what does that mean for D'Amico Ryans?
Oh, it's coming, man.
2 years into a 6-year deal.
Yeah.
I mean, do you anticipate an extension soon, or
if they get to where we think they can get this year, he'll get it after this season. Absolutely. And deservedly so.
Yeah, no question at all.
And it doesn't affect any salary cap.
No, that's the beauty of it, right?
And the Mineras love D'Amico.
And they should, right? He hits a lot of different things. We did a whole segment yesterday about the various ways that he's just a damn good coach. Yeah. He understands people. He's a great communicator, all those things. But then on top of all those things, right, with any place in the NFL, if you have that guy, that's great. He's one of our own.
He's born and raised, and so to speak, in football terms.
You have the tangible parts of it, the X's and O's parts of it, and then you also just have the narrative story part of it. I don't know that you could have a better hand in glove fit with coach and organization than what they have right now. Might as well make it worth his while. And again, add that money as that proxy for respect to let him know, hey man,
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We love you and we appreciate what you do.
Yeah, and he, I think he gets $4 million, according to SpotRack anyway, right now. Coaches these days that are successful at that level, they get $8, $9, $10 million. I'm not saying that's what he's going to get, and I'm not his agent, but if they get to an AFC championship game, he'll get at least 6 or 7.
I can't imagine them adding more years, though, right?
Just adding money.
Just put more money on.
And good for him.
And that would be great, yeah. I imagine that that agent's got to look at the Mike McDaniel extension and be like, hey,
all right.
Can we make that happen here?
Put a pin in that.
For sure. Some other things around the NFL. Rashi Rice, we got an update there. If you'll remember, he was the young man for SMU, former SMU standout, who honestly was one of the few wide receivers that really seemed to gain a lot of respect from Patrick Mahomes in that Chiefs offense this past year. Well, in the offseason, he was wilding up in Dallas. Him and I believe a friend were, you know, speeding down a highway in the middle of the day on a Saturday.
Remember that? They walked off.
Speeding and
ain't nobody gonna notice. Yeah. No one will notice.
Caused a crash. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Yeah. High speed hit and run that occurred in the spring. There was a lot of thoughts like, hey man, when you're exhibiting behavior like that, that's something where the NFL in its past has come in and been like, all right, we're going to give you some level of, you know, punishment to one, establish, like, protect the shield, make it clear that we have some discipline in what we're doing here, but then also, again, to keep you on the straight and narrow in some ways. Well, we're getting reporting that the Chiefs do not anticipate any level of immediate suspension for him, maybe going on the commissioner's exempt list, anything like that. So it seems like he will be available to the Chiefs to start the season.
Yeah, you can read into that however, you know, whatever you want. The NFL, first of all, they can fine and suspend without any, like, guilty or not guilty verdict. It's just behavior is what they're judging, and as you said, protecting the shield. So they don't need any, like, legal determination to do that. But clearly they feel as if whatever it is that they're gonna, I mean, they could still, you know, he could still be fined, he could still be whatever. They feel like it's not gonna be strong enough to warrant a suspension. Although they did say, unless there's material change in any of the evidence or whatever.
I do find it interesting. I think this is a interesting kind of change that's happened in Roger Goodell's tenure. Do you remember when he came in as the commissioner in 2006?
The discipline commissioner.
He was the hammer, yeah. Right? He was the law and order commissioner as he came in, and he was like, I'm going to give discipline on all these things, and it became very fraught. And I think that he has learned his lesson, because you notice it's really been different. Maybe the last four seasons or so, if my timeline is correct in my head, where they've been a lot more lenient. And I think they found, especially when you end up in like kind of Colin Kaepernick era and things of that nature, like, hey man, being the arbiter of these things, it's cool as an authority standpoint, but one, it does not put you in the good graces of your players, and there's no need for all of that. Two, like, I don't think it helps your team suspending and taking your players that help make your product away from doing the job that makes your product
better.
And again, being the arbiter of these things, it's not fun, right? In the same way that when players would have the breast cancer awareness month, right? And players were like, well, I want to have this cause and I want to have this cause. And they were like, look, we're just going to do my cause, my cleats. You guys throw that on there. We don't want to be the arbiters of what cause is worthwhile of supporting, what cause is not worthwhile of supporting. I think that they've learned their lesson that, hey, man, the more that we can take off of our plate and the more that we don't have to make those decisions, the less that it looks bad on us, which is kind of crazy because you would imagine something like this looks bad on the NFL. But it seems like they're just like, my name's Ben and I ain't in it. It's fine.
I also think Roger Goodell coming in as the, quote, tough, you know, discipline, seems so long ago now, and it was, commissioner. I think he quickly realized, like, where his bread is buttered, you know, and the owners were probably like, that's a cool thing to say, man. I'm glad you said that. But don't do that a lot. Don't do that a lot.
I think they were on board with it early, right?
Early on. Like, they're cool. And then they realize, you know, we need these guys.
Right.
We need these guys.
713 mentions, remember what they did to Ezekiel Elliott when he was coming in the league after the
thing
that
happened. Was it a party in New Orleans
Ohio,
on the roof or something?
Had happened when he was still at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Got suspended 6 games, and that created a rift that I'm not sure is entirely repaired between Goodell and Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. And, like, they butted heads. And, like, I can only imagine what other things have happened behind closed doors that we've not been as privy to, where there's been kind of those butting of heads at times with various factions. And ultimately, you're right. His bread is buttered. He serves at the behest of the owners.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that probably factors in as well, too. So there you go. Rashee Rice not going to be in that place to receive immediate suspension to start the season. And one more. This is something that we I don't think we got to yesterday. We had noted Tom Brady, as he is now going to be on the number one team calling games for Fox. It's been kind of undercovered or maybe not paid attention to much, because who cares about, like, minority ownership stakes? But he is vying to possibly become a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, apparently he's going to have severe restrictions as a broadcaster if he does indeed get that part ownership with the Raiders.
Yeah, he's not going to be allowed to enter any team's facility. Wouldn't be permitted to witness practice and attend those production meetings that they always refer to during broadcast.
Yeah.
We were talking to blah, blah, blah yesterday. And or attend access to coaches and players before games. So a couple things here. And I don't know where you guys stand on this. We just talked about putting it in. Didn't really ask where you guys stand. I think good. And it's not because of the old Patriots thing. It's not that at all.
Is that for me?
Yeah, is that for you?
I would not trust Tom Brady as far as I could throw.
So it is. It is that for you?
Yes, he will be there as a scout for the Raiders. I would not trust that at all.
I don't think that's wrong. But for me, that's not it.
That's not the big thing for you.
No, for me, it's like the optics here are awful. You got an owner of another team at our practice? I mean, no.
Yeah.
I mean, the temptation alone, the back of your mind, hey, I saw them work on this, you know, whatever play. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
That's interesting, because my big thing is something entirely different. How useful is he going to be as a broadcaster if he's not engaging in production?
That too.
Right? Like, one of the things that I often think about, again, is I want that broadcaster to bring me insight that I can't get elsewhere during the game, right? Give me context on what I'm seeing. And Tom Brady, just like his brain and his love of football and those things, right? And his work. I don't want to, you know, forget his work ethic. Are obviously going to be great. But how does that shift the further you get away from football, right?
Yeah.
The way that you keep getting those insights is having those conversations and being able to talk to coach ahead of game day and watching practice and getting that that contact with the players and with the organizations. If you're barred from doing that, how are you going to continue to bring me that level of insight and information? Are you just then going to be talking about how you played and the things that you knew when you played? Because as you get further away from playing, that becomes less and less relevant. How quickly, I don't know, but like, Fox signed him to a big old deal, baby.
30?
Right? Like, they signed him to a big old deal. So I do wonder, like, if that happens, if this goes through like that, how valuable is he going to be on your biggest game for Fox every damn week?
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
I think you are absolutely right. That is 100% another factor here that I agree with. But, I mean, let's personalize this here. Whether you work at an accounting firm or wherever you work or radio here, you want somebody coming in here to see how we do things from another that has a stake in another place?
Yeah.
Hell no. Yeah. I don't care if he's like, oh no, I would never. I don't care.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, but it's a definite hell no.
Because
it's Tom Brady. Yeah. I might let it slide if it was somebody like a Brett Favre or something like that.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, okay, it's cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. But Tom Brady, hell no, man. Yeah, mess around, come out of retirement.
I love that.
For the Raiders.
By the way, I'm starting next week against you.
Yeah. Nah, I'm good, man.
There you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. And somebody mentioned what sends the wrong message if the NFL, if you can have a hit and run walk away like nothing happens. I feel you. Like, that's one of the things that is tough. We've talked about this a lot with like domestic violence and things of that nature and domestic abuse and all those types of things. The NFL, as a business, it doesn't behoove them. And that's really what's unfortunate at times is that them as a business, that perspective is going to weigh a lot heavier than like a moral one. The problem also exists.
Yeah.
Our systems that are supposed to handle these things don't do a good enough job, like the legal system and things, that we are now looking to a business to handle these things.
Yeah.
And that ends up being an issue in it.
Don't do that.
Right.
Not if it's the NFL.
No, not or any other business, to be completely honest. Coming up next, though, what do you hope and what do you need to see in year two of a Bobby Slowick offense? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That is funky.
I love Fridays.
Funky Friday here, Sports Radio 610 In the Loop. Shout out to my man Figgy Fig getting us right, along with John Lopez and myself. Reginald Datatula, hope you're having a good one hanging out with us all the way till 2 p.m. when we'll turn it over to the drive. There's a fire in here. It looks a little rainy outside, but it's a fire in here.
A little bit.
Having a good time. Mm-hmm. What do you hope and what do you need to see in year two of Bobby Slowick's offense? It's kind of incredible to think of the fact that it is only year two of him not only being the coordinator here, but being an offensive coordinator in general. Mm-hmm. This is a man that was widely looked at, and it seemed like he had to actively turn down the opportunity to become a head coach. People were, you had to like swat him away like flies, keep him off of him to remain here. And so last night at the Texas season premiere, we were kind of having conversations about this offense. And, you know, thinking about the idea that, hey, man, this dude is still here. What is the progression? How does it look like going forward? And I think that's going to be super important because we all view, although the defense, we think that defense is absolutely going to be improved, maybe even factoring in winning in ways that we had not necessarily considered it possible last year. It feels like the offense is still the name of the game. It's the number one thing. It's the bread and butter for what they do. How does that become more prolific and more proficient as you go along in the season?
Yeah, look, and we were talking about the offense with a lot of people last night and among ourselves and just kind of kicking this idea around because we were there, all the Texans were there, et cetera. And the topic of Bobby Slowick came up. And a lot of people were saying, okay, so I don't know how much things are necessarily going to change.
Right.
They just want to be more proficient, as you put it. And this is a Clint Sterner line that I really like a lot. He likes to say, do the simple things savagely well. And that's a very good way to put it. I don't buy that altogether, though. And let me tell you why. I think they are going to try to do the simple things savagely well. I think they are going to be more proficient at what they did last night. But I also think that doesn't mean that they're not going to add a lot of new wrinkles just because there is a comfort level now. There is a place in this offense where there are more offensive minds comfortable with their roles, from quarterback coach to, you know, offensive assistant,
yeah,
to obviously offensive coordinator,
mainly to quarterback on IR.
To quarterback on IR. No, absolutely, Coach Keenum, and all that. So just because, like, maybe the players don't realize, maybe training camp and preseason was all about, let's perfect doing the simple things savagely well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That could change today.
Yeah.
Or actually tomorrow when they come
practice,
back.
Practice, yeah.
Yeah, when they come back or whatever, whenever it is. So I feel like just because they have that comfort level, and Bobby Slowik, if we know anything about him already, he's going to tinker, man.
Sure.
Like he's going to, you know, game plan with that big brain of his. You know, I used to call him the savant, and maybe we'll have to repurpose that, because I think they, you know, training camp and preseason was like, let's perfect everything, as was kind of the vibe that we got yesterday. Now they're going to get fancy, you know, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, that was my original thought. And mm-hmm. I think when we first brought up kind of the concept during mm-hmm. our conversation last night, it was just like, well, when you think about a new coordinator in particular, you're installing the offense in that first year. You're really just kind of like getting the language across and mm-hmm. getting everybody on the same page. We're like, let's see if we can execute this on a base level.
Yeah.
And in my mind, and of course, it's the mind of somebody who is not in room in like in those buildings in the way that other folks are. It would be then, now second year, you have an opportunity to take that and elevate it, right?
Yeah.
And take that to another level. And I was kind of amazed when we kind of got that feeling that that's not entirely what the expectation is. It's just, mm-hmm. hey, now let's take what we have and hammer it home and make sure that we're doing it to max potential, which makes sense. But I think you're right. I think there's definitely got to be some things that shift and, that ebb and flow through the course of this. But one of the things that I hope to see, right, as opposed to like what needs to be seen or what have you, mm-hmm. one of the things I definitely hope to see is something that B. Scott was actually talking about this morning as he was filling in for Sean Pendergast on Pendergast and Payne.
Payne and Pendergast.
I'm trying to look. I think that Seth has made it clear that he never wanted to, you know, dominate the first part of that. So I'm trying to give him his wish. I'm trying to see, what does this sound like? But it's Pendergast and Payne. Payne and Pendergast. I'm not going to lie. I've had a lot of struggles making sure that I keep those names straight because they're both, you know, same initials and everything. Seth and Sean are not like wildly different names. Mm-hmm. And so in my brain, I'm like, make sure that you go Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast. But this is Brandon Scott. That name I can get very easily. It is not SP, but B. Scott was talking about this.
I've got a request for Bobby Slowik. You tell me if it's a reasonable one. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but this is my Bobby Slowik request that he leave us with or provide us with before he leaves. Before Bobby Slowik chunks up the deuces, they say, or gets up out of here to scheme up a run game, especially now that you got Joe Mixon, you're in year two of CJ Stroud. It feels like it's not like you can say, hey, this window is forever. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. You got this year, got you back by surprise, by the way, because everybody thought you were gone. Scheme us up a run game before you get up out of here.
I think that that's the thing that I need to see.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Like, I believe that this offense is capable of being incredible, especially passing wise.
We can say it. Elite.
Elite. Okay. I'm with you. Right. Yeah. Like, I think that there's offensively, passing wise, you just have so many options mm-hmm. that I don't know how any team devotes enough of their coverage to all of these guys to make it so that they're not going to tear them apart. Hell, that's something that Dalton Schultz was talking about after, what was it, the dress rehearsal against the Giants? He could eat up underneath.
Dude, he was killing it.
Underneath the defense, because the defense is so worried about all these dudes that can get vertical on top of you.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz is like 8 to 10 yards at a time. I can just sit down, like sit routes
mm-hmm.
without even having to do a whole bunch. Get to that spot, sit down, catch the ball, and there you go. There's a first down.
Yeah.
You know? And so defenses are going to have a tough enough time with that, but that run game is the thing that can really demoralize a team. If you can do all that offense, all the passing stuff, mm-hmm. excellent. But you can really demoralize a team if you're able to just 5 yards,
yeah.
5 yards, 5 yards. I'm not saying that that's the way that they go about it, but when you can do that and then also over the top, underneath, outside, right, you are untouchable. And I think that that's the thing that this team has. You have all of the pieces to do it.
Yeah.
I think that it's now, hey, Chef Bobby Slowik, put that together, like just give us the recipe there
mm-hmm.
to make sure that that's what it can be, because I think it's capable. It's, you have the pieces there.
I am totally with you, but I'm going to put a twist on that I believe. I think that's secondary.
Okay.
I think the run game is secondary. I said this about midway through last season. It's so obvious now. This is a passing team, man.
Like, I agree.
Like, this is a passing team. And this is why when people say, oh, they're just going to kind of just perfect everything, and this was kind of the vibe, as I mentioned, that we got last night. They're just going to perfect everything that they did last year and just do it better. And I totally disagree. First of all, it doesn't make any sense. You brought in Stephon Diggs as a compliment and have this three-headed monster at wide receiver for a reason. You're tinkering with the fullback position and players coming out of the of that position who are more pass catchers for a reason. You drafted Cade Stover and he's produced as the second tight end.
Yeah.
You know, with Dalton Schultz for a reason. That reason isn't just to stay status quo with kind of your approach of last year. Those reasons are you're going to start, as I said, getting fancy, for lack of a better way to do it. I fully expect starting week one, we're going to go, whoa, Bobby's in his bag. You know, Bobby is doing some things. He's getting creative now. And I just totally, it doesn't make any sense to do anything otherwise. That said, absolutely you have to be able to run the ball because that's something they didn't do quite well last year, you know, as well as they wanted to last year. But I think what I'm excited about with Bobby Slowick, which is kind of how we got into this, is now he's rubbing his hands together. He's wringing his hands. He's licking his lips saying, all right, I got all the toys now. We're going to do something really special.
Yeah, but the reason why I come back to the run game, because I think you're right, it is secondary, all those things, but the reason why I come back to it, and again, this is where I will go to our friends in the morning show, Seth Payne and and Sean Pendergast. Got those names right, huh? Yes? Okay. No, but like, yeah, Seth and Clint Sterner as well, that they are the ones that, you know, I mentioned this in the preseason, that they were opening my eyes to the idea of, hey, man, sometimes the actual run scheme, it doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, you're getting to places where on the strong side of where you're going to, you know, with the football, you don't have a hat on a hat. And, like, that's the basic principles of what we're doing here, trying to block these guys up, give yourself an opportunity to go do something special. Yeah, so, like, and then also instances where you have, hey, the wide receiver that's blocking is going up to safety, leaving the linebacker, you know, and it's like, hey, if we're going to leave somebody unblocked and leave it at the highest level or something like that, at least from my non-play calling perspective. But like, yeah, I would like to see those running schemes then evolve to a place where they're not just, you know, they're more effective, not just in results, but also in the process in a way that makes sense bit more. And that's not just me saying it. That's from these former players that we have the luxury of working with here at 610.
No, I agree. You have to have those old axioms, you know, defense wins championships. Ultimately, defense in the postseason has to make plays to clinch championships.
Sure.
But offense will win it for you, you know, in terms of getting you to a place where the defense can clinch it and make a stop. Same thing with the run game. Well, you got to run the ball. Yes, you absolutely have to run the ball. I mean, what you're saying is right. They have to have the scheme. They have to have the backs that can thrive behind that scheme in order to have the success that we think they can have. But they're going to get really, really interesting with how they manipulate and use the passing game. That's just what I feel. I think we're going to, you know, 5-6 weeks in, we're going to, man, Bobby is doing some stuff now, you know. And it's not just him. The influences from Gerard Johnson and the offensive staff and maybe even Case Keenum. By the way, this is a little known fact that we kind of stumbled across last night. Every one of the offensive coaches at that level,
they've called plays at some point.
Called plays in the preseason.
Yeah. And I think that's become more and more
What's
common.
What's the source for that?
People.
Yeah. That's become more
Where's
and more.
Source?
People say.
Hey, come on now. You never ask a journalist their source. Come on, man. It's like asking a lady.
The source is, trust me, bro.
Yeah, trust me, bro.
Trust me.
But no, absolutely. And we're seeing that more and more in the modern NFL, especially even like having some of their assistants then be the head coach for the game. I think the teams are understanding, hey, there might be suspensions. There might be things that happen that take you a person away.
And you get
away.
A feel for what they're trying to accomplish.
And it's a development tool, right?
Like, it's a development tool. And Gerard's sitting there going, because I know he called plays. He's okay, so this is, you know, and he's got Bobby Slowick right next to him. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. And look, again, Bobby Slowick, we thought you lost him this past offseason.
Yeah.
Next offseason, you can almost guarantee that is a high probability. And so having more guys that you know are capable of calling plays, and then also having different perspectives that, hey, man, this play would not get called by Bobby, but I have a chance to call it. Maybe I can call it. And now you get plays that maybe Bobby wouldn't call, but he gets to see it and go, okay, well, that's a little bit more effective than I thought it was. Now we'll add that to the playbook or what have you.
This segment has just gotten me more excited.
I think that there's a lot of reasons mm-hmm. to be excited all the way around this team.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's been incredible is that there's the level of excitement at every level, down at the microscopic level mm-hmm. where, you know, we are a little bit closer to this. And then at the 30,000 foot view level for a lot of places around the NFL. So super excited to see what happens with the season. And again, we get started in about not this weekend, but next weekend when the Texans head out to Indianapolis to face off against the Colts. It's In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including who's throwing out the first pitch tonight and how the Astros got a dude demoted from his job. We'll talk about it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
What's poppin'? In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Figgy, you got myself, Reginald Datatula, here with you. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday as of right now. What is poppin' is that we got news that NRG Stadium will soon be fully covered again when it's closed.
And an update.
Yes, sir.
It is the center panel.
That's right. So if you're like, what do you mean? What is the center panel? We got news that both of those panels will be fixed sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the panels will be fixed before the home opener against mm-hmm. the Bears on Sunday Night Football. Not next week, but the week after and in week two. And then the other panel, because there's only two that have been missing, will also be replaced. And that will happen before the home game against the Jaguars.
Yeah, correct? That would be week four, September 29th. Good news, man. I mean, I'm really starting to feel for those because it's comfortable in this stadium during the preseason.
It sure is.
It was comfortable last night and certainly during the preseason game. But boy, when that sun hits you.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, there was a lot of comfort in that stadium. Even still during those preseason games when it was hot out, it was comfortable, mm-hmm. except in a few places, and that's where the sun was hitting. And so,
move, son, move.
We also got note of
some expensive tickets in that area, too.
There sure are, especially when you get down that lower bowl, for sure.
Those ain't nosebleeds.
And so the two panels, if you're not familiar, which I feel like you probably are, but just be careful if you're not familiar, the two panels that are currently missing that will be replaced by week four. One of them is a little bit more central to the field, definitely over the playing surface. And then the other one is closer to the south end zone, over the end zone thereabouts. We did get a confirmation mm-hmm. that the first one that will replace. So, there will not be a football game at NRG Stadium until that panel's replaced is the one that's over the playing surface, over the playing field and towards the middle of the field. So you're going to have a lot less of that glare and basically none of that glare.
The thing that was driving me nuts
on television, actually
the washout.
Yeah, you're not going to have that glare ever again at this point because the Bears game is a night game, so mm-hmm. that's just going to be the lights in the stadium. That'll just look like a night game.
Yeah,
and then before you get the Jaguars game on week four, they'll both be replaced and we'll be back to rocking fully as NRG Stadium is intended. So shout out to that. Now, when it comes to your Astros, they got a big win last night. Is it unfair? Because I've been saying it's a big win. Is it unfair to call it a big win? I know that the Royals are a good team.
No, that was a big win.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a big win. Because, for one, as you've mentioned, the stretch that they're on. Secondly, the Royals are really good. They really are. And they're a team that I think I said 5 runs earlier. They're a team that rocked the Astros and Hunter Brown early in the season for 9 runs in the first inning. So you had to get right, and you had to piece it together with the whole way last night.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big win, and I'm really excited about this series. I'm going to be locked in on some college football. Don't get me wrong, but you got to check in on the Astros tonight.
You got to get a situation like me where you have 3 TVs.
I got 2 and 1 in my office.
And a possible?
The 2 inside, I keep 1 in the bar and 1 on the living room, and I pop back and forth, generally because I'm getting a drink in the bar, but that's okay.
Yeah, so, but... I mean, Hunter Brown, as you mentioned, chomping at the bit to get back to the Royals, and he handled his, man. It wasn't the easiest task, but 6 2/3 innings, 4 strikeouts, no earned runs, right? Yeah. Like, he handled his. And then it was some great play late in the game when it comes to offensively, when you get a bases-loaded pinch-hit walk
mm-hmm.
from Zach DiCenzo. And, I mean, he was pretty steely metal, but then once he was able to get that walk that scorer Yainer Diaz gave the Astros the lead that they would not relinquish in that game.
Yeah.
He really let out the emotions as if he had hit a home run,
and he should have. I mean, that's the way to do it. You got the bases loaded. You move that guy across the plate in any way you can, and so he should have. And then Dubon, boy, what a week he's had, and he capped it off with a nice two run, I believe, hit last night to stretch the lead.
Yeah, man, no homers in this game. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, making sure to get him on, get him over, get him in. Did you take note of Ben Gamble hitting fifth in this game?
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the case until, oh, by the way, we actually saw Kyle Tucker running, like actually running. It wasn't like
running for real.
No, running for real.
Was he jogging or like running?
Was he running like you or like running like an MLB player?
He was running like me 2 weeks ago.
no, he was running like Fred Sanford a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he was worse than me even 2 weeks ago. But he was, I would describe it as 3/4 speed, but smooth. Like he knew what he was doing and felt all right, you know? So that's coming down the pike, but it speaks to what you're talking about, a Gamble at fifth. Everything's going to be mix and match and matchups until you get your full player, your full lineup back.
But that was a piece that he was just out there. You add him. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned looking at the split since the All-Star break, he had been at the batting average had been better. Hadn't had a lot of slugging. He's done both of those things in a very limited sample thus far with the Astros. So that's been a nice waiver or, you know, flyer that they took that ultimately they got. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned the Astros, obviously, to talk about that win that they got tonight, last night. They'll play again tonight as well against the Royals, who will not have Victor Pascarini. Wait, I said that wrong. Goodness gracious. Pascatino. My apologies.
I like that, actually.
Was that Dan's son?
I don't know what I just did there, bro.
Did Dan got a son?
Buddy, I don't know what just happened there. I put it into autopilot, and autopilot crashed, apparently.
Dan would tell you, probably.
Yeah, probably do got a son.
But the Phillies, who were the last opponent that the Astros faced, and the Astros mm-hmm. Were able to get a win in that in one of those games, in the third game of the series, to avoid a sweep against starting pitcher Taijuan Walker. Will very unceremoniously, as soon as the Astros leave town to make it back to Houston, the Phillies demoted Taijuan Walker to a bullpen role.
That's going to happen when you give it up like he did.
Yeah, man. That was, what, an 11-0 mm-hmm, victory?
Mm-hmm.
They were like, all right, this is enough. We've seen enough.
That's a sign.
Yeah, go ahead and we'll send you to the bullpen. So the Astros got that man demoted. So condolences to Taijuan Walker.
Condolences.
I don't know. What am I supposed to say in that moment, right? But then also, the game tonight that's going to happen, clearly at the Juice Box Minute Maid Park, there will be a celebration of Houston excellence in athletics as Simone Biles.
How about that?
Will be throwing out the first pitch.
Is she going to
do the bat flip?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
She got to, man.
She did it in the World Series when she threw out the first pitch. She did a back flip.
I feel like she does.
She has to. She got to.
Well, but what if she's going to make this different? You know what I would love to see, just because I am fascinated with this move in gymnastics?
Mm-hmm.
The wolf turn. You know when it almost looks like a rapper squat, except one of the legs is extended out.
Yeah.
Oh, and she spins around.
And then she spins on that foot.
They usually do it on the balance beam.
On the beam, she makes it happen.
Yeah.
I think she'll do it on the floor every once in a while as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, she do.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, if we get a wolf turn on the...
She's got to do a backflip.
Okay, backflip.
Hey, is your guy going to be there? The 4x1 winner?
Yeah, they're supposed to be celebrating other Olympians.
All the Houston Olympians.
But they didn't give us, or at least I didn't see a list of names.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to know which Olympians would get to be celebrated.
The one you took to Atomic Wings?
Oh, Bryce Dedman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll probably be there.
Yeah, from Mo City and went to Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got to be there, man. We got
to
celebrate.
Yeah, he got to.
So you get to watch the Astros, Framber Valdez face off against Seth Lugo. But then you also get to see Simone Biles throw first pitch, and hopefully a lot of Houston Olympians get their due before the game as well. So shout out to all the folks involved in that stuff. As we continue with what's popping, I found this to be kind of humorous personally. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how you fine fellas feel. As Patrick Mahomes was talking about, you know, it's Taylor Swift's kind of involvement with the team. And as they've been getting, you know, leading up to the season, he was asked about kind of girls and women in the game, and he said, I think it's been cool to see the girls and women that have really embraced watching football. He said, being a girl dad, it's cool for him to see, like, little girls, these daughters, how much they're loving to spend time with their dad watching football. And, I mean, some of that, you know, not everybody, because there's been a lot of women who love football and such, but Taylor Swift trend definitely brought even more women into the fold. He said, and then meeting Taylor and realizing how genuine and cool she is, I think that's been special to me because she's, like you said, the most famous person in the world. He went further to saying she's really interested in football. She asks a lot of great questions. She started drawing up plays.
Come on now.
We might have to put one in.
Say that last line again.
Started drawing up plays. We might have to put one in.
I got to see one of these plays.
I want to see a Taylor Swift play.
No. Not in practice.
No, I want to see one. I want to see one play.
I want to see the drawing.
Because this is the thing about the Chiefs, right?
Like, I want this guy right here to go here. Well, he's a tackle.
Yeah.
I want this guy to do this and get the ball. Well, he's the center. But, and I'm, you know, having fun with it. She may be brilliant. I don't think so, but she may be brilliant in terms of football acumen and drawing up plays. I just want to see what she drew up on the old napkin, as they like to say.
All right, let's do a little percentage check. Likelihood that the Chiefs in a game this season use a Taylor Swift drawn play.
Zero.
Figgy?
I'm going to say yes.
Percentage?
I'm going to give it a 15% chance. Okay.
I'm going higher. I'm going 40%.
Come on.
And this is why I say that.
They did that ring around the rosy.
They be doing this all the time. Like, Andy Reid is like, if y'all want to add plays, we can try it. Like, they really do.
That ring around the rosy.
They're bored with excellence. They were just like, let's throw some stuff in. And we know that the players bring plays to the fore, and then they try them out in practice. And if they like it, then they run it in the game. I think that they might just, because they got time on their hands. Hey, Travis, what was your girl drawing up? What was that play? Let's run that one.
What could it be? What would it be? Like, what would be her muse, her influence for a Chiefs play? Does she have like a signature dance move or anything? Or?
Buddy, I don't know all that.
Maybe they're going to call it like errors play. The errors play. Somebody run an E route. Mm-hmm. Somebody run an R route.
Like it's a speed option Taylor's version.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's going to be the shake it off.
Okay.
It's going to be the shake it off.
What does that look like?
100%.
Is that like the annexation of Puerto Rico?
Well, if she draws it up, it might be.
Okay. Very good.
It might be.
Yeah, but I think it's a possibility. All right,
you guys got me up to 0.5%.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 832. If Taylor drew up a play, it's to Travis Kelce.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it possible that her favorite player is not Travis Kelce?
No, that's not possible.
Okay. Now, who was the guy she tweeted or she posted about that they re-signed?
Oh, wasn't it Mecole Hardman? Tony, I thought it was.
No, it was like Mecole
Hardman. Oh, Mecole Hardman, when they brought him back from
the Jets. Yeah, she was like super pumped up about that. I would be surprised if that was her favorite player.
Yeah.
What if it's like a tight end pass, something like that, where it's like kind
that
of
that could be possible.
Yeah.
Like a shovel and then Travis Kelce. Because Travis Kelce was a quarterback.
Yeah.
Was that Cincinnati or was that in high school?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But
when if it's that play? Remember that play that was called back because they was lined up offsides.
Ah, then, yeah.
What was the play that pitched back to Travis Kelce?
Yes,
and he took it all away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well,
Tony was actually offsides.
Yes, he was. It was Kadarius Tony that got the ball pitched to him, and he was offsides. Yeah, something like that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to the Chiefs, and we'll see if Taylor Swift plays.
Getting bored.
I guess so. That's how good they are. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, with the preseason behind us, now that the roster is set, what are some predictions? What are some of your predictions for this season with the Texans? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.